Peace be with you all, brothers and sisters. Thank God that once again, we are to God's day of Sunday morning to come and worship God, to worship our Creator. There are a couple scriptures I'm going to share with you all. The first one was the one that we just read from Matthew 11. And the topic, once again, is going to be Lord's yoke is easy and burden is light. And before we get started, if please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. We thank you in this Lord's Day that we are able to come joyfully to come to worship you. We ask you to be pleased with our worship, that your name be lifted up high in our prayers, and let us give praises to you. And that your Holy Spirit indwell in us, and let us understand your words, and let us follow you. We ask you to be with us for the rest of the time this morning, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The three verses we just read from Matthew. In regard to the topics, the title that I'm about to share is all about from this Matthew 11. And it's going to reflect to these three verses that we have read. And let's go ahead and remind ourselves and that we are able to use these three verses to live, to use in our daily lives. And remembering them. So what we're going to talk about is about God's yoke and the burdens. So once again, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we reflect to these three verses, if you remember back in year 2014, August 11th, it's been a couple years now, there's a shocking news. He shocked the world with this piece of news. His name is Robin Williams, the pastor of Robin Williams. I like him as an actor very well myself. He is a well-known actor, comedian, Oscar winner, and he was only 63. At the age of 63, he committed suicide. And at that time, many people were commenting about why he even, at the height of his career, that he would commit suicide. It seems that everything that he has was a success. He was young, and he was successful in his career. And he lived in a luxurious life, and he is a very well-known person. Why did he even commit suicide? So according to one person named Sam Neill, he said, he remembering Robin Williams, he had fame, he was rich, people loved him. He is a very humorous person. But one thing that he continued with was that, and yet he was the loneliest person. A lot of us, when we saw him, it was in his outward appearance, but not his inside. in the 20th century, in 90s. There was an actor from China in Beijing that he was only 26 years old. He started out from a local, theater performance. And very quickly, he became fame because of his acting and because of his voice. And many of the TV dramas are starting to pick him to become the main characters in the TV dramas. So he, once again, just like Robin Williams, he was very well known in China. And while he was at the highest of his careers, he was very handsome. He's only 20, and at the age of 28, he will suffer from anxiety. And with that diagnosis, he's starting to feel in sickness and not able to perform his best as he continued to face the media and publics. He's starting to stay away and he's starting to get away from the publics, from people, and become on himself. And then finally, he commits suicide by jumping. And as you can see, the whole China, the audience, they were all shocked. This is such a handsome, such of a well-known young actors. He is richly rewarded for his skill, his acts. For all of us, we'll look at him as he's a successful person. Now, how could he come to the points of dying in suicide? So how did he even come to the decision of trying to commit suicide? So there's a survey done by Harmony Healthcare. In the US, age 18 to 26, many of these young people there are 61% of them have been diagnosed with anxieties. And there's another study. It's after the pandemic, COVID, about 40 to 50% in the United States, all the adults have been diagnosed with anxieties. The adult population, 40 to 50% of them have been diagnosed with anxieties. This may not be accurate. However, it does tell us one fact. Even in today's high-tech world, that many people are able to perform and do things that surpass in the past. Doesn't matter where what happened to date. A lot of time, people still are experiencing the anxieties, the issues. There was one time a young person from New York in the media. He was telling people, broadcast saying, "I'm going to invite people to come to my house. We're going to have a big party." So he sent out a lot of invitations, and he was prepared for everybody to come and join. But at the last minute, all of his friends call back and then tell him, saying, "By the way, I'm sorry, we got a last minute engagement, so we are not able to come." And he was very disappointed that all of them have rejected and they cannot come and join in his party. And so he went on to publish his invitation to the areas, and then there were more than 100 people who finally came and joined in his party. But at the very end, while after everybody's gone, all of a sudden he became it's one person once again. And then all of a sudden he feel the loneliness. And as we look around, the people surround us, do we know anybody who feels the loneliness? Are there people who needs to be helped? Maybe reflect to ourselves, do we ever feel lonely? Do we know anybody who are currently live under the circumstances that they have been experienced as sleepless? They feel like no one can ever understand them. They feel lonely. They do not see their futures. They are hopeless. They feel hopeless. And then no one loves them, including their own family. And nobody can help them. So who can actually help these people? So this couple of verses that we read today, we are able to get the answer from God's word. So let's look who can actually help us, help the people who are in the midst of these circumstances. So let's go back to our verses today. Let's go ahead and read once again from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Let's read together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. After we read these three verses, starting from verse 28, you will see what Jesus was telling us. It says, all you who are weary and burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. Just pay attention to come to me, this phrase. Come. So Jesus has already started out with the invitation. Anybody who are struggling, anybody who are feeling in pain, if you feel you have no help, you can come to me and I will give you rest. In Hebrew, come. In Hebrew, come. That means is a commandment, a command. Come. It's not simply just an invitation, rather it's come. It's an urgency. It is a commandment, command, you come. It is an urgency. It is an urgency. It's an urgent invitation. It doesn't mean you come anytime, rather urgently. Come now. Come now. It is not an option. Rather, it is right now. And come to where? And what it really means is that means it's face to face, to come and face to face and standing in front of Lord Jesus. So come, who can come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who? It is for all. And who are the people who are burdened? Who are the people who are weary? You may feel like, well, today I have no worries. So how can I be the one that needs to come to the the front of the face of about to see the face of Jesus Christ. But as we read the verse, it says, doesn't matter you are believers or not believers, it uses word of all. Who needs to come to Jesus? It is all of us. So for those who are burdened, and for those who are weary, come, all of you. So take your yoke upon you and learn from me. Many of the people who are included in this all, maybe physically illness, maybe is because of financial stress, maybe is their emotional or all kinds of pressures in their lives. They may are experiencing all of the issues that anybody can have. And these are all the people that Jesus wants to invite to come to him. In fact, many of us today may feel like we are not the people who have weary, or we are the people who are burdened. So we don't necessarily have to come to Jesus. There's a famous theologian, C.S. Lewis, once said, God whispers to us in our pleasure. And God shouts to us in our pain, and troubles are God's megaphone to wake us up. So what does this mean? When we are in our pleasures or when we are in pain, Jesus will use a megaphone to tell us, come to receive the rest. So what is a rest? According to Hebrew, rest, a lot of time, we will look at it as if that's a noun. It's taking a break. But this rest, it actually is a verb. It is for us to renew, to regain. So what Jesus is giving to us is the true, is to rest in him. And very importantly is that he wants us to regain the strength from him. From Isaiah 55, it says, Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 3, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ears, and come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Lord Jesus used this verse, three verses, all who are weary and burdened, come to me. So for anybody in our lives, we have failures or any kind of challenges, we can always come to the Lord Jesus. And of course, we have to be careful too. We want to be rest in God. That means that first criteria is that we are willing to admit and we are willing to come before him. And let's take a look at it, verse 29. I am gentle and humble in heart. and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So for our English-speaking brothers and sisters, let's take a look at the slides. Take my yoke and learn from me. So as a matter of fact, today's the verse 29 should be the focal points for our topic today. It is to take my yoke and then learn from him. So what does that mean? So what is a yoke? So if you know what yoke is from the Middle East or back in, you know, countryside in China, what is a yoke? Yoke is actually a wooden beam or frame used to join a pair of oxen. And so that they will be able to pull together and pull in a load and work together. And this yoke is put in on a pair of oxen on their neck. So they are able to come together and work together. And there's another Bible scholar, William Barclay, explained in the Middle East, how was the wooden beam or frame or the yoke was being built? It was based on individual oxen that they would bring to the manufacturer, and then they will measure the size, the height, and everything about this oxen. And they will individually build an yoke for the individual oxen. So when Lord Jesus was telling us that when his yoke is easy, and then my burden is light. That means through the yoke, this yoke was personally measured and made based on individual's need. And then the most important things for this yoke is not for individual to carry on. Rather, it is come to me, not just like that. Come to me doesn't mean just come on, you know, and then we'll see what happened. Rather, the yoke was being built, was being manufactured. So that way, you and I, we can work together to pull the load. So this yoke that Jesus was referring to here means we are union, we are work together, we are in union with Jesus Christ. That we are able to work together, pull the load together. If you are heavy loaded, and if you are in pain, Lord Jesus will work together with us and then to take us the burden with us. Just imagine when we were little, when we would go out and try to carry the water and bring it home. If you are bringing one tank of water or put it on your own self, it's very heavy. And how about if you, with one of your brother or your siblings, carry the water? What happened? If you put it in the middle, both of you, all of your burden will be light. Your load will be light and you are able to do better that way. So in this case, when Jesus was talking about the load, this yoke, that means he's working with us, that we are in union, we are performing the teamwork. So our burden will be light if we work together. So when we start to take on God's yoke, that simply means no longer we are one by ourselves. Rather, it is God and us, we will yoke together for we are all together. And then we will experience and walk through the life together. And if we continue with 29, it says, you will, is to learn from me. So what does it mean to learn? Once both of us are being yoked together, being branded together, not just one person can just pull the whole load. We will have to learn from each other. And this learning is through the Lord Jesus that is allowing us to see the example of God, how he's going to show us his example so we can learn from him as we carry on this load. In the old days, when you are just going to the factories to learn the new skills, you are going to have the experience of skilled workers will come and then show you on how to do things right. And what is right and what is not, they will share their knowledge with you and then allow you to learn from them. And this is what Lord Jesus Christ is wanting us to have. As we yoke together, Jesus Christ wants us to see him and to learn from him. So we are co-laboring with Jesus, Lord Jesus, and carry on the burden. So we have to remember while we are carrying the yoke with Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus would never say that, well, you're still young, that's okay, I'll take care of every burden that you have. No, that's not what Jesus Christ was telling us. Rather, we still, as an individual, we still have to do our own, we still have to carry on our own, with our own abilities. We have to follow him. So when we are yoked together with Lord Jesus, yoking with him doesn't mean that we don't do our part. We still have to do our own parts. We have to work together with Lord Jesus. For Lord Jesus is willing to carry on the burden with us. So if we are very familiar with the Bible, Lord Jesus, while he was on this earth for 33 and a half years, he was just like normal people. He can have all kind of excuses just like all of us because he has experienced a lot of troubles, a lot of tests while he was on this earth. Actually, he has experienced more than what we have experienced in this life. But if we see from the Bibles, a lot of time when Jesus was experiencing all the troubles and trials, what does he do? He still have rest and peace in his heart. So this is where Lord Jesus wants us to learn from him, how to receive the peace. From Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 8. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we have to continue to learn from Jesus. So from this verses that we just read, what kind of heart, what kind of nature that Jesus has? What kind of heart does he have? So let's continue with our verse, the last part of verse 29 and verse 30. It says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I am gentle and humble in heart. So from the Philippians chapter 2 we just read, we know that Jesus, he himself humbled himself. He is meek, he is willing. And it's very different from the authoritarian type of the way of approaching people. Rather, he is humble. He is meek for God. That is how his heart. When we are in the wrong path, God will bring us back gently. He will never despise us because of our failures. He would never make us feel bad whenever we make a mistake. It's almost like us as a parent, a lot of time, you know, a lot of time we tend to do, you know, discipline our kids, saying, "You make me lose my face because you've done such bad things." But if we look at from the Lord Jesus, his examples, in this case, Jesus right here is telling us he's gentle and humble in heart. He would never shame us in the public, for he knows our trouble, our struggles. So he will come to us, in front of us, and then by telling us to follow him, to learn from him. And we will still have hope. So gentle and humble. And humble doesn't mean it's the lowest of low. And also, as we reflect back in old China back then, what does the humble mean? What does it really mean? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, to be humble doesn't mean it's not a good character that people want to have. It is a term that people would despise. Because a lot of time, people would not be humble in front of public. But as we have read, what does it tell us about Jesus Christ? Jesus himself was telling us he took on So when Jesus came, he was here humbly to serve others. He's not here to lead, but rather he's here to serve others. Just from Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So here was a true story. One time in China, back then, a long time ago, when the cell phone was still in a big, you know, a large size, this particular person walked into the hotel, and then the people who are at the door stopped him because the way that he dressed was not does not, you know, show that he belongs to this so-called tier level of customers. So they stopped him. But then at that time, once again, with the cell phones was rare, he picked up the cell phone from his phone and started to talk. And the people, when they saw that, they said, oh, this person must be have a status. That's why he was able to have such of a cell phone. So they let him into the hotel and then stayed there. So as we can see, a lot of people nowadays in worldly views, we are all being viewed from outward appearance. But on contrary, as we can see, how Jesus sees people are different from what people, the worldly, would see. For he is gentle and humble. And from Romans 5:7, it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. For a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Who in this world would even die for sinners? Only Christ. He died for us. For this is a lesson that Jesus wants to teach us, that he wants us to learn from him. Continue with verse 29, and you will find rest for your souls. So right here, we have already read, there are two times it talks about the rest. The very first rest is immediate relief from verse 29. Verse 28, rest, is when we come to the Lord, we'll receive rest. But this time, this rest, it was being given by our Lord. And this rest, if we want to receive that, it is a requirement that we need to take on a yoke together, walk together with Lord Jesus, continuing to learn from the Lord. This rest is a process. It is our lifelong learning lessons. Just like our physical bodies, when we feel tired, we need to have a rest. But rather, that's physically, how about our inner self? What our spiritual rest? Do we have such spiritual rest? That is not just a physical rest. So here, the second rest that we are talking about here, it is about more in depth. It's in our spirit's rest, spiritual rest. So how can he offer us this spiritual rest? It is because he has died on the cross for our sins, that he had paid for our debt. On the cross, he bled. He had forgave our sins. And then took the sins away and took that away from us, so that our spiritual, we are able to receive, we are able to be relieved. For the debt of the sins have been taken away. There was this story. A person was invited by a good friend of his. They were going there to enjoy a cup of wine. While he was getting ready to drink the wine, he saw there's a little snake shape of items inside of his cup. And he was starting to question, why is my friend offering me a cup of wine that has a snake in there? But without any hesitation, he still go and drink it all. And after he drank the wine, he's starting to feel like something's going on. And then fortunately, later on, somebody, he was describing experience with other friends. And the friends tell him, you have misunderstood your friends. The snakes that's inside of your wine cup, actually it's not a snake. It's not a snake. It was a reflection of the moonlight at that night. And that's why you see that. So all of a sudden, he realized he has misunderstood his friends, and he has misjudged on his friends' goodness. So a lot of time, because we are not sure about what's coming in the future, we cannot, and then we will have the anxieties or become anxious. But Lord Jesus Christ has promised us that no matter what happened, he will always be with us. And no one can ever take us away from him. So from John 10, 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. So when we take on the yoke and learn from him, we will find rest for our souls. So if we go ahead and learn from him, many things will be resolved because we are learning from our Lord Jesus as our good examples. So continue with the verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why are we saying that? For God's yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is based on two factors. First, his yoke accompanied with his teaching and his help. While we carry on the yoke together, we are able to learn from him. The second reason, it is because God's promise and for who he is. For he is humble and he is gentle. A lot of time, if you have any kind of issues with friends, a lot of time a conflict will become. But if we carry on this yoke together with Jesus, we'll have a rest. And many times when we pray to God, when we yoke together with Lord Jesus, we all become harmonized. We go become peaceful. For God is gentle and humble in heart. So in this summertime, we have starting to study a topical Bible studies. And then one of the topics is about depression. So we start to talk about depressions. How do we discover people who are having or experiencing the depression? And how can we find them? And how can we help them? So we talk about if our family members, our friends, our neighbors, if we discover that they are experiencing anxiety or anxious, what do we do? And a lot of the discussion was going on. And we came to the final conclusion. What is one thing that they can do that would help them to resolve their depression? Let's think about that. Let's consider whenever we are in the midst of anxiety, depressions, what are the things that they would most likely like to hear? It is to tell them what to do. There's another way to do. And maybe, and we will remind them that for men, no one can do. Rather, only Lord Jesus is the only way that will give us a rest. And what Lord is teaching us is not how Jesus is going to tell us what to do. Rather, Jesus is going to yoke together with us and we'll walk together. For Jesus will never look down at us. For he knows our burden. He knows our conflicts. He knows our struggles. For he will take us from the depth of our struggles and bring us up. So whenever we come across this type of people who are experiencing depressions, it is not just to tell them what to do. Rather, it's to share their struggles and help them, to tell them we are there to support, to work together. So from a WHO, World Health Organization, there's one specific thing about, you know, people who are facing depressions is to have an organization to come along the side to assist them, to help them, and to walk together. And Jesus is better, offering better, for he is willing to yoke with us. He is here to help us, for he is gentle and humble in heart. And we will find rest for our souls because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He wants to work together, walk alongside with us. The yoke is easy. The words of easy. For God's yoke is easy. The word you can also interpret as a kind. The easy is equal to kind. Imagine if we are yoked together with Lord Jesus. What things can actually make us continue to have anxiety, anxious, weary, or anything? Nothing. Because we are no longer facing our struggle by ourselves. Rather, we have Lord Jesus Christ alongside to yoke our suffering. If we look at our worlds today, it is a world is deteriorating. Even if you look at just the presidential debate, even Taiwan, you know, politics, or all the politicians around the world, if you look at them, you'll feel your frustration. If we reflect and take a look at how people are facing the pressures and struggles and the hours that they put into their work, it's a lot more than in the past. So a lot of time when we're looking for peace, for the rest, a lot of people tend to ignore their inner peace that they really need to have, the rest that they need to have. And this is a song named Boulevard of Broken Dreams. It is a song from a number one best-selling album, American Idiot, by the Green Day Band. Here are some of its lyrics. And the title illustrations is that I walk alone, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's home to me, and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps, and I am the only one, and I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk alone, I walk alone. My shadow is the only one that walks beside me. My shadow heart's the only thing that still beating. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me. Till then, I walk alone. Maybe this is not very pervasive among people. However, according to the Bible, the verses that we just read, you don't have to walk on the world. You don't have to walk lonely. You don't have to face. You don't have to face all this weary and burden all by yourself. For there is a God. We have one God who loves us. We have the Lord that He's willing to help us. And He's willing to take on our burden. For His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's bow and pray. Father, we give thanks to you. Through the verses that we read today, once again, you encourage us, you motivate us, and may your Holy Spirit endure with us. Let your words to endure in our hearts that will continue to recognize. Although we may have depression, although we have struggles, although we have faced all the difficulties, despite the fears, anxieties, worries, but we know the Creator, Lord Father, you know everything that we are facing, we are experiencing, and you are willing to carry on, to carry with us the burden that we have. We ask you to continue to help us. Let us regain the strength. Regain our strength to soar like an eagle. So we will receive the rest and the peace in you. And may the things that we do and say will give glories to you. Help us. If there's anyone in amongst us who still do not know you, through these verses that we read today, remind us. If you are willing to come before the Lord Jesus, the Lord is willing to take on our yoke. For there is nothing that he cannot do. In John 3:16, it says, "For God is love, so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is so loving to us. He is meek. He is humble, continually calling all of us who are heavy burden, come before me. And we will take up the yoke together and learn from him, for he is gentle and humble in heart. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.